All right. Amen. Now we'll start recording here. We're up to lesson number 12 here at our church on the subject of deeper things. This is a studies I wrote about a quarter of a century ago. I think I actually shared these about 6 years ago. I wasn't aware of that. I thought it was longer than that ago. But there's 40 of them, so we're not even a third the way through. But they're all different each time, so I hope they are interesting to you. And tonight's lesson is called Love and Service. Love and Service. Now, those are not new truths. We just want to try to go into them a little bit deeper with these studies. And so let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 11, 12, and 13. And these verses don't have anything to do with love and service, but they do teach us a truth that we want to know for this and any subject we study. It says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So not only is salvation free, but knowledge is free from God if you'll pay the price, if you'll study, and then let the Holy Spirit teach you. There's no monetary cost to that. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, in the discussion on your notes, it says this: "In the last lesson, we established that God's love toward us is not earned by our works. In fact, just like salvation, God's love is not earned at all. It is given freely." All right, because God is love. God doesn't have to come up with love like we do. God is love. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time coming up with love sometimes for some people. And God doesn't. God doesn't say, "Boy, how can I find some love for this guy or this lady?" No, God is love. God is love. Now, according to our passage, who teaches us this? Who teaches us these things? Well, who wrote the whole Bible through men? 40, maybe 40 different men, maybe more, less, we don't know. But who wrote this according to the scriptures that we just read? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in us tells us in his written word, and then he freely shows us that God is love. And so the last lesson we tried to get you to just go deeper into that truth that God is love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, when we studied in Romans chapter 8 in the last lesson. Yet, we are to work for God, and we are to work hard. Our motive should not be to work to earn his love, but because we are loved. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2. This is not on your notes, but it's just a great text that you, if you don't have this memorized, I would encourage you to memorize this. It says so much in three verses. And many of you have this memorized, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Not of yourselves. "It is the gift of God," and notice these three words, "not of works, lest any man should boast." So we are not saved by ourselves or by our works. It's a gift of God. It's not a reward that you have earned. It is a gift that God has given you. But look at verse 10. "Why are we saved? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, when did he ordain that? When did he ordain that? Well, I think Paul maybe was referring back to when Jesus was on earth, and he said these words in John 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So the Lord has ordained us. Now I know we have ordination services where men kneel down and we put our hands on them and we designate publicly them to the gospel ministry, to the office of pastor, evangelist, whatever, missionary. And we do that because that's also biblical. All right, that has a biblical basis. But the fact of the matter is the Lord has already ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And everyone in this room, if you're in Christ, you should be bringing forth fruit of some kind. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. But I think this was what Paul may have been referring back to in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so you are ordained to bring forth fruit, and you are ordained to do good works. Now again, we've got to get the order. We've got to get it in the right order, just like with love. We do not earn God's love. God's love is given freely. And we do not earn salvation. Salvation is given freely. But we love God because he first loved us. And we work for God because we love God. And when you really love somebody, you are glad to serve them. Let me say that again. When you really love somebody, you are glad to serve them. If you really love somebody and they say, boy, I'm going to be gone for a month. Could you mow my lawn? If you really love them, you don't even have to think about the answer. You would say, absolutely, anything I can do for you. And that's just, I don't know, that illustration just popped into my mind. But so when you love somebody, it says right here, it is so much easier to serve someone that loves us, and God loves us. God loves us, and so why is it that some people do not serve the Lord? I don't understand, but sometimes it may be the way they grew up, and they have not overcome their old life or their old nature by the power of the Scriptures yet, and I'll try to illustrate what I mean here as we look into this a little bit deeper, but here's a question or an illustration about service. Which of the following husbands would it be easier for a wife to serve? Now, I've used this before, kind of picks on the husbands. We could put wives in there, or we could put parents in there, and really make a lot of us uncomfortable tonight, I suppose. I don't mean to do that. I'm just trying to make an illustration. So here's a wife, and she's married to husband number one. He's described this way in your notes. He is mean and ornery. He never appreciates his wife or compliments her. He takes her for granted and never tells her or shows her that he loves her. He doesn't say thank you. He is demanding and cruel to her. His expectations of her are never satisfied. She can never do enough. He's never satisfied, and I hope not, but I'm sure some of you in your minds right now are thinking about somebody like that. It's sad to see that. That's just one thing that just irks me is when somebody mistreats their wife. I do not understand that. I do not understand that. But there are those who use them as placemats or floor mats or doormats to wipe their feet on. And it's just not that way. So there's husband number one, and this wife has to serve him. Proverbs says she will do him good and not evil. all the days of her life. She has to serve him. She's a help meet for him. That's why God made women, to help men. They need help. But here comes husband number two. He loves his wife all the time. He can't thank her enough. He recognizes all that she does for him and tells her so. He treats her like a person and puts her needs and wants before his. He does things for her constantly. He cherishes her more than anything. Now the question is, which of the following husbands would it be easier for a wife to serve? Well, anybody knows the answer to this. It's number two. It's number two. It's just the way it is. It's so much easier. Now, the number one, she can serve him, and she should. But number two is so much easier, and this is what I call the intentional husband. The intentional husband, the one who does what the Bible tells him to do intentionally towards his wife. Her husband riseth up and praiseth her. Praiseth her. And she needs that praise. It certainly is fuel for her tank to keep her going, to know that when she is praised. So it says here, the wife who is loved finds it so much easier to serve her husband than the wife who is never appreciated. It is always easier to work for someone we love. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So notice the order. Jesus, in his wisdom, put love before service. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus puts love before service. We don't serve to earn God's love. We have God's love. And because of his love, we have no problem serving him, whatever he asks us to do. So turn, if you can, and it's so much easier when this order is kept. Boy, this person loves me, and now they've asked me to do something. It's no problem. And I know God loves me. And he's asked me to do something. And so, John chapter 14, turn there. We just read verse 15, but I want you also to notice in the same chapter, it's not the only time he said that order. In John 14, 21 now, 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be love to my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So it kind of heaps on us even more love if you're reading the verse there. So he loves us, we serve him, we keep his commandments, and then the Lord loves us even more. I know God loves the whole world because he has declared it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But then we get to this just a couple chapters later here in this book where John is referred to, and he never gives his name. You have to read it between the lines. He never gives his name, but it's very obvious when you see it in the context when he says, and this is that disciple, talking about himself. John's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. And he loved them all, but there was something special about John. Where he, because he served the Lord and kept the Lord's commandments, there was just a very, very special love. And so, verse 23, if you look down there now, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. There's another one where love just kind of gets heaped up on somebody. And more love. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And then, as we mentioned earlier in the study, who is it that teaches us all these things about God's love? Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he is the supreme teacher, the one who can teach you all things. And it might seem very simple, but it should be very deep. One of the things the Holy Spirit, if you'll allow him to teach you, is that God loves you. God loves you. And God is for you. We saw that in the last lesson. And if you fail, and if you fall, if you sin, he still loves you. You do not wear out the love of God. You don't wear out his mercy. He still loves you. And because of that, we should say, what can I do for you? What can I do for the one who loves me so? In 1 John, John just talks about love. I forgot. I think it's 49 times in 1 John, that small little book. So God allowed him to write 5 books, and he mentions love more than anybody of all the authors in the Bible. John does, because he knew more about it. And he says in 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And so I want to encourage you tonight, the deeper thought is this, is to serve because you're loved. Serve because you're loved, not to be loved. And not to you know, do the thing that some people do after salvation, and they think they got to earn God's love. The thought of love first and service comes out in John 21, the famous story. You all know about Peter. It appears as though he's become very backslidden just a couple weeks after he sees the resurrected Christ. You know, be careful. I don't care how amazing your spiritual experiences have been. You can fall within weeks. There is no spiritual experience you can have that's going to keep you standing for good. You have to stay close to the Lord. And so he says, I go a fishing. And a bunch of the other disciples say, we go with you. And it turns out there's 7 altogether. He takes 6 others back to the business he was involved in 3 years earlier when Jesus called him. And when he was called, it says Peter left his nets, left his father, left the business, followed Christ. And we don't know of any time in 3 years that he ever went fishing again. But now he says, I go fishing, and he's out in the boat there, and he's naked. And I don't know why, but it's been a hot day or something. And Jesus shows up, the resurrected Christ, before his ascension, shows up on the seashore. He has fish and bread and coal, fish upon the coals and something to eat. And he says, brethren, do you have any meat? And anyway, one of them says, it's the Lord. And Peter, of course, puts his fisher coat on, jumps in the water, swims in. And the Lord brings up this order in our study tonight with Peter. He says to Peter, and you know the story, Peter, do you love me? Notice he puts the love first. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he says, feed my lambs. And then he asks him the second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know everything, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Notice that. Love first, service. Love, service. Love, service. Third time. Do you love me? And Peter got a little bit agitated. Said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And we've got to keep that order. The order that God uses, that, okay, get it settled that I love you, and then serving the Lord will be so much easier. It'll be so much easier. It's easier to go to work if you love your job. And it's easier to work there all day. It's easier to go to church and be involved if you love your church. It's easier to serve the Lord or serve the pastor, if the pastor asked you to do something, if you love the pastor, he says, could you do this? It's easier to be a mom if you love your children. And not where you just say, boy, I can't wait till they get old enough to get out of my hair. No, if you love your children, it's easier to serve your children. And for children, if they love their mom or their dad and their mom or dad ask them to do something, it's easier for them to do it. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, we're talking about service tonight, good works. Good works. And it's something that should be mobilized by love. Matthew 11, again, well-known verses, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, I will burn you out. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, get yoked up together with Christ and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I'll give you rest, and then if you obey me and work with me, get yoked up with me and serve with me, you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we read earlier, his commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And this thing about love has so much power that I don't understand the response I've seen in so many believers over the years where they just quit because they're burnt out. I'm just burnt out. There's something that's not in biblical order in their life. And it's their relationship with God. It's their love. Jude, in the second last book in the Bible, said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Those of you that are married know what that means. You've got to keep yourself in love. Love is not some automatic thing that you finally get it and you have it forever and you're Mr. Love, Dr. Love, or something like that. No, you've got to keep yourself in love. And it's the same thing with Jesus. It's the same thing with the Lord. You got to keep yourself in love with him. Now, how do you do that? I'll give you a little suggestion. Maybe one of the first things you could do every day, and this might sound silly to some of you, and if it does, I feel sorry for you. But you might want to get on your knees somewhere in private every morning and just say, before I start anything, Heavenly Father, I want you to know that I love you. And then tell him why. And then, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I love you. And then tell him why. And then, Holy Spirit, I love you. Does the Holy Spirit know anything about love? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that might sound silly to you, but boy, does it work. If you could at least just start the day saying, Lord, I just want you to know I love you. And if I can do anything for you today, would you please show me what I can do? I'd be glad to do it. And it just helps to keep yourselves in the love of God, as we're told. But boy, if you don't, you know, if you're a wife and your husband hasn't told you for months that he loves you, or if you're a husband and your wife hasn't told you for months that he loves you, or, you know, you're a child and your parents haven't told you for a long time that they love you, man, you can start having some issues. But boy, when they say, I love you, and I know that can be kind of empty, shallow words, sometimes overused by some, but, or somebody says, I love you, brother. You know, I love you, sister. And you just nowadays, man, we got texting nowadays. You can just, you're thinking about somebody, you got their contact, just text them and say, I don't know why, I've just been thinking about you today. I want you to know I love you. And I've been thinking about you. There's something about that that's really powerful. Well, my wife knows I love her. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if she would like to hear it once in a while, even though she knows it. And even your husband, oh, he's tough, he's masculine, he doesn't need to hear it. Well, you know, maybe he does need to hear it. And it'll just make service easier. And I know that this is something I wish all along I've done more. I wish I'd have loved more instead of just sometimes going through the mechanics of the Christian life or pastoring or anything. Now, the conclusion here says, because God constantly shows and tells his love for us, it should be easy for us to love him. I mean, we should all have a praise on our lips, a testimony for something he's done recently for us. Why? Because he's done something recently for us. It's just how he is. It just never ends, his goodness that he directs towards us all the time. And the thought is this, love is the fuel that ignites service. Turn to 2 Corinthians, this will be our last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, love is the fuel that ignites service. Love is the, and so don't, if you're thinking about marriage and you don't have love, then just forget it. Don't wreck someone else's life. You got no right to do that. But I want you to notice our thought is love is the fuel that ignites service. Look at this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Isn't that powerful? Notice the fuel, verse 14. For the love of God constraineth us. That word constraineth literally means to be pushed, to be pressed. The love of God constraineth us. This is Paul in the midst of talking about all the suffering he went through for Christ, for his mission's work. And he went through spiritual suffering. He went through his own thorn in the flesh. He went through all kinds of persecutions that probably all of us accumulated in this room. We would not come close to what Paul went through. And some people wonder, what would possess a man to go through all that he's going through for Christ and then eventually to die for Christ? What is it? Well, he tells us, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ pushes me, it presses me to serve the Lord. I'm not serving the Lord to earn his love. I have his love, and that love constrains me, pushes me, presses me to die. And verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which henceforth, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We shouldn't be living for ourselves. That's the problem. Like Don Hardman said, there's only two problems. You're God and he ain't. That's all. You're God and he ain't. And that's Louisiana speech, but there's a lot of deep truth to that. We think we're God, and he's not. He's not going to tell me what to do. But Paul said that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We shouldn't live for ourselves. We should live for him, the one that died for us and rose again. And once in a blue moon, you know, the old days they used to have people, preachers, missionaries, pastors, whatever, evangelists, sign Bibles. Remember that in the old days? You sign your Bible, you put your autograph in there and put your verse down. Once in a while, that still happens. A couple weeks ago, I was at a camp meeting over here in Hamburg, and they gave me a little award, my wife, too. And after that, a bunch of kids came up to me with Bibles. This is the verse I always write next to my name right here. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And boy, that says it all right there. And that's the gist of the lesson tonight, love and service. Love and service. Just as works follow salvation, so works follow love. Follow love. And so I hope you know God loves you. And I hope it's not something you're struggling with. I hope it's something by faith you've received. And when you really understand how much he loves you, that it'll compel you to serve him.